You're listening to Out in the Bay, queer radio from San Francisco. I'm True Quinn. Before we head in, I have to tell you something. This episode includes frank and somewhat graphic discussion about sex. Are you ready? In the Bay, we're over 9 months into quarantine. Some of us are skin-starved, many of us even love-starved. No hugs, no spooning, no sex, no friends, no family. It's a lot. But the truth is, many of us felt lonesome even before the pandemic pushed us further into isolation. Getting what we need is always a challenge. So how are we coping now? To find out, we're going to get intimate. People out in the Bay will share their quarantine stories and offer some sexy and sweet solutions to the lack of connection we all feel from time to time, pandemic or not. For childcare provider and doula Jordan Sales, they see the pandemic as a way to really practice self-love, if you know what I mean.
Honestly, like I was just masturbating like mad for a long time too, to the point where like I had to like force myself to like take breaks from it. like even right now, you're like, I haven't masturbated in like 4 days. That's a big deal. Like, I don't know, have you ever like gotten to a point where you're just like either with your hand or a vibrator or something and your clit is just shot? Like, you're just like, this is taking forever.
Relatable, yes. Jordan lives in Oakland, is 30 years old, non-binary, and non-monogamous. And before COVID, they were seeing two people.
One of them we agreed for now, especially because he's an essential worker, that we would just keep things more platonic at this moment. And that's like, at first it felt kind of sad, but it like feels really good. And like we will be like romantic again at some point, but we both feel like a big sense of relief and like a lot more comfort still having like just a platonic friendship at this moment. And like, we'll still see each other with like social distancing, and that's comfortable.
For Bay Area musician Olivia Lee, dating non-monogamously while the virus is out there has been demanding.
It's required a lot of communication and checking in and kind of having a bunch of agreements with not just my partners, but with my roommates and just everyone involved in our like pod, and tried to like maintain a safer sort of like quarantine pod and like closed loop. But you know, it's changing and evolving, and everyone's sort of figuring it out as we go.
So far, there's been two COVID scares in Olivia's pod.
One was a like negative case, and one was a confirmed positive case. So every time that happens, there's just like a total lockdown. Everyone, we did total contact trace. Like, my cat Moon kicks in and starts spreadsheeting and stuff, and like trying to like figure out how long exactly we need to wait and how to inform everyone. So it's definitely been like a lot of keeping in touch with like a lot of people. You know, our house has like an allowance for a person or two. And of course, that doesn't mean just one person is then introduced in your loop. It's like that person's roommates. And so, you know, we found ourselves at one point with a pod that was like 15 people deep. And like, it's just hard to know.
The key to navigating all of this complexity and fear, Olivia says, remaining heart open.
There have been some, you know, heart-to-hearts and lots of like check-ins and just a lot coming up for people during such a traumatic and unpredictable time. Just like a lot, it brings up a lot.
The other Out in the Bay producers and I have been calling this episode the Young and Horny Story. They'll say, hey, Truk, how's the Young and Horny Story going? And from talking to people, it's about more than just physical touch. Avery Hines is from Detroit, Michigan, and is a chef at Walden House, which serves clients with mental health and substance use disorder issues. He met me in Buena Vista Park, just a few blocks from their job in San Francisco.
Hi.
Avery has a girlfriend, and they're both poly.
We actually live together, so like, yeah.
Oh, so you have a live-in person that you get hugs from.
Yeah, but I still miss, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm used to being poly and stuff, and like just being able to, like, I'm looking for the right word. I don't know, just have, like, other connections with people, you know, like, other intimate connections with people. And, like, and it's not necessarily, like, a sexual thing, like, just, like, that mental connection, too, you know? So, I definitely miss that.
Avery and his partner, Malie A, both miss meeting people in person. He says she's on the apps way more than he is, and when it comes to using them, it's a love-hate relationship.
I find myself getting, like, ghosted a lot. But I get it, though, you know? Like, people want to stay safe, and, like, you know, I'm not upset about that. Like, you have to keep yourself safe and your family too, you know. Like, it's like somebody was telling me, like, basically, you know, you can go hang out with one person, but it's like, who else were you hanging out with during the week? Because they could be carriers too, and then you're exposing it to that new person that you're meeting up with. So, like, I totally get it, because, like, I can go get tested today and then meet up with somebody tomorrow and get COVID and not even know, you know.
What about Malie? Have they been going on any dates? Have they met up with anyone, had a different kind of experience than you on the dating app?
No, she hasn't. Like, she's actually been getting the same things, like getting ghosted and stuff too, or just meeting people that's not necessarily, like, worth their time.
Even before the pandemic, using apps hasn't always been a sure way to make a meaningful connection. For musician Dylan Gallagher, apps have felt like a meat market, but when quarantine started, he dove back in.
Every single day I was, like, on Hinge, I was on Tinder, and then Grindr made its way back into the fold, which, like, for a long time I was trying to avoid it because Grindr is an absolute cesspool.
Dylan says for a while, he fulfilled his college fantasies, sending photos back and forth with people, just having fun, but that quickly got old. And before lockdown, he employed this tactic when online dating.
Before, when I was dating people before the lockdown, I would always prioritize, you know, picking out something that would be fun to do regardless of whether or not I like the person. And my thinking there was always, you know, even if I end up not getting along with this person, then that's a win-win, because then at least I've basically reverse engineered the night around doing something fun anyway. So, like, even if this person kind of sucks, then, like, we're still at my favorite bar, or we're still getting really good food, or we're still, like, you know, at the beach, whatever have you. But now those factors are all kind of eliminated because you can't really obviously go out anywhere.
Recently, Dylan did end up meeting someone. For their first date, they went to the Berkeley Marina, sat outside, and just talked. He thought not being able to go on normal dates would be a barrier, but he's surprised.
It actually has, with this particular guy that I've started seeing, ended up being really positive, because it's sort of every night, for better and for worse, is the same thing. So there's no room for adding in, like, extra activities that could, like, possibly fool me into thinking that I'm having a lot of fun hanging out with this person and enjoying this person for who they are, when in reality I might just be enjoying and looking forward to the activities that we've planned the hangout around. So, like, now I actually go on these dates with this guy for him and to get to know him and just to get to enjoy his presence, rather than thinking about, like, you know, oh, which place are we going to go, like, try cocktails at, or, you know, what concert are we going to see? There's nothing else that, like, kind of clouds my idea of what the relationship is. And I think that that's a really cool, like, shift in priorities that's taken place for me.
Dylan says he felt lonely before the pandemic, and in an unexpected way, he's forged a more meaningful connection with himself and people he chooses to be around. And introducing a new person in his life requires a certain level of trust.
Basically, whenever I talk to somebody and I get their word that they've been safe, that they haven't even really left the house much, that they're wearing their masks everywhere they go, that they are basically following all the necessary protocol, I'm just inclined to be trusting of it, because I feel like the people who actually care about it have a level of fear and respect about it that means that they are actually taking precautions, whereas the people to be really afraid of, in my mind, are the ones who aren't afraid of it.
Staying safe is a top priority for everyone I spoke with. They're asking one another for proof of COVID tests and keeping communication levels high. But if you're looking for an extra safe way to go on an escapade and to explore sensual worlds during lockdown, let me introduce you to Dipsy.
I'm Christina Loring. My pronouns are she and her. And I'm the storytelling lead at Dipsy. And that means I'm head of content and head of audio. And I sort of see our stories from ideation to birth. I feel like I'm a story doula.
An erotic story doula.
An erotic story doula, definitely.
That's quite the title. For people who haven't heard about Dipsy, tell us exactly what Dipsy is.
Sure, yeah. Dipsy is a feminist audio erotica app, and we make short audio vignettes. They're between 10 and 20 minutes long, and they're all sort of elevated fantasy, so they sound very realistic, authentic, like they could happen to you, but they're sort of the more fantastical, romantic version, if you will.
What role do you think Dipsy, like how do you think Dipsy could help people in this time?
When COVID started and the lockdown started, you know, our listenership really started to double during this time. And, you know, like you're saying, like people are really craving intimacy, they're craving touch, they're craving being witnessed in a really personal way. And I always think about, you know, as we're making and I'm listening to like, we just did a story where this couple goes to a strip club together, these two women, and it's a birthday gift for her partner. And she gets a lap dance from somebody. But it's like all these moments where you're like, we can't do that now. this is so fantastical now that you could even be in the club or you could be dancing with people, that you could hug a stranger, like all of this stuff. So I always say like it feels like we're building little time capsules now at Dipsy for back when intimacy was really wild before and you could grind up against somebody or you could hold their hand. And it's, you know, it's wild to think about that that's so novel now.
Can you tell us a little bit about some of the queer-centered stories that you have?
Sure, yeah. We have so many queer stories now. And I say that fully recognizing that when you're making erotica, there are so many different scenarios and relationship dynamics and identities and kinks and turn-ons. Like we have so much more work to do, but, you know, I'm proud of where our library, you know, how it's grown in the last year and a half. I'll tell you some of my faves and some of our team's faves and some of our audience faves. So one that is a big fan favorite is called Memory Lane. And it's sort of a classic twist on an old tale, but the main character goes back to a party in her hometown and sees her like good friend from high school, her former high school crush. But it wasn't clear that her friend June was also gay. And she's just realizing that June is also gay. And now's the time to like try to like bridge that gap and possibly hook up.
Hey.
Hey.
You made it.
Oh, you look great.
Oh, you know Naya, right?
Oh, hey, yeah, hey, right.
Good to see you again. How are you?
Yeah, I think we met back when the bike shop opened over.
Right, right. That night was crazy.
June talked with her hands. Her huge smile punctuated each sentence. Her energy made me wonder if I seemed stiff. I uncrossed my arms and tried to take her in without her noticing. She tucked her locks behind her shoulder. Wait, is that a tattoo? I'm staring. Am I being obvious? No, she didn't notice. But be cool. She's looking at you. Smile.
It's kind of loud in here.
What'd you say it again?
It's loud.
It is loud. Obnoxiously loud.
I love this story because it's not a overdone coming out story. We can skip all of the awkwardness of being gay in high school that often happens and the misconnections that we often feel. And you're just sort of on this nostalgic, beautiful ride. Someone recently called it, when they were listening, they said it felt like they were inside of a queer snow globe. It's like the sound design is very like cozy.
June leaned in real close, and I took a deep breath. The twinkling lights blurred together behind her as her hand touched my arm in slow motion. Her lips were like inches from my face.
There's just so many beautiful moments in that piece that feel very intimate. And, you know, what we do in our work a lot, we don't just focus on the physical or sexual turn-ons or eroticism. We really focus on the things that turn you on that are not sexual at all. knowing somebody's many different types of laughter that they have, and like only you know how they laugh for certain things, or like noticing how they, like one of the lines is like noticing how June tucks a lock behind her ear, like when she's like kind of shy but also kind of feeling herself. So it's just like full of those moments that are just like so intimate and so endearing. So that's a big fan favorite. Another one is the Ride or Die series, and it's a queer couple and they're doing a road trip across the United States, and each episode is a different stop on their road trip. And it's all dialogue, so it's like you're overhearing their time, and they're always going on sort of like a sexual adventure.
I didn't know you were gonna go straight for this look. No shirt, no bra, just this vest.
I was kind of feeling myself.
You look so hot.
Then I guess you're gonna have to buy it.
I love this because the actors in this episode are so wonderful. Like you can, their chemistry is so palpable, and you just really get attached to Corey and Ty. That's their those are their names. Their adventures and how they're willing to like push their own boundaries for sort of like, both of them are pretty into exhibitionism in different ways.
There's someone right outside.
I won't make a sound.
Mm-mm, I don't trust you.
Baby, please. They can't hear us through the door.
Shh.
Do you want another size? Baby, I'll be good. I promise.
Okay. But let me lead.
Ooh, whatever you say.
I love that series. And then I'll give you a couple more. Because there's many I could talk about. There's like all our Sonic children. I'm like, I'm proud of all of them. But another one is TaylorMade, which we did in collaboration with a tailor in LA. And it's so many people have said, like, this is my queer fantasy, hooking up with my tailor who's going to make me a suit for my body that isn't gendered in any way, and they can see me for who I am. And I just, it seems, it's just so like the sexiness of the intimacy and the closeness of somebody doing your measurements and like seeing your body the way that you want the world to perceive your body and the way that your body is, like really just embracing you for who you are, and then like having a hot hookup in their studio. It's like so amazing. And that features two genderqueer characters, and that is also a big staff favorite.
We made eye contact in the reflection. Then they placed a hand on each of my shoulders, squeezing once. They leaned in close, their mouth just an inch from my ear.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna start with measurements for the jacket, okay?
Yeah.
So, neck, then chest. Mm-hmm. We'll just keep working our way down. I just need to undo the top two buttons.
Yeah. They came around in front of me and looked up, their eyes meeting mine. They didn't look away as they grabbed the top button, undoing it. And the next. Keep going. I didn't mean to say it. They unbuttoned another, but their lips lifted up just half an inch. The very start of a grin.
I think a lot of queer storytellers and are making queer stories, you don't want to make things so heavy-handed or like, this is the coming out story. This is the, like, this is my body positivity story or whatever. Like, you just want to witness people, like, being desired and freely desiring. And, like, everybody wants that. Everybody wants to be seen and desired. And everyone wants to be able to love and lust freely. And I think, like, a lot of times, you know, when you're part of a community that has been oppressed in that way, or people are trying to dehumanize you or take away, you know, your narrative, erase your narrative, these moments, like these erotic moments, and having it be like pure pleasure and fun and joy becomes such a radical act. And like, we've, that whole narrative really comes from like the brilliant brain of Adrienne Marie Brown, and she's talking about pleasure activism, and Audre Lorde when she's talking about pleasure and sustaining yourself in a revolution. So like, this is just one small piece of that work.
What I wanted to speak to today is another aspect, or the opposite of the pornographic, because it's really hard. I know it is for me, and I'm sure it is for you. Andrea Dworkin yesterday spoke about the necessity of our knowing our enemy. Well, in order to know our enemy, we have to expose ourselves to some really energy-sapping things. And to do that, we need all the strength we can get. We need each one of us to deal from a place where we are most powerful. And what I wanted to talk about today was the erotic as a source of that power, and how urgent it is that we recognize that within ourselves, and that we not confuse the pornographic with the erotic. The name of this is uses of the erotic as power. Now, there are many kinds of power, both the ones we use and the ones we do not yet use, acknowledged and otherwise. The erotic is a resource within each one of us that lies in a very deeply female and spiritual plane. It is firmly rooted in the power of all our unexpressed and unrecognized feelings. In order to perpetrate itself, every oppression in our history must corrupt or distort those various sources of power within the culture of the oppressed, as for instance within our culture as women, that can provide energy for change.
That was a clip of Audre Lorde speaking on and reading from their essay, The Uses of the Erotic as Power. To help us continue to work from a place of erotic power, Dipsy is offering a gift for Out in the Bay listeners.
I would love to make y'all a playlist of our favorite queer and most popular queer stories. And we have so many that I feel like I want to just like shout out right now, but we're also offering a 30-day trial. When you go to dipsystories.com/out-in-the-bay, that's dipsystories.com/out-in-the-bay. And, again, Dipsy's D-I-P-S-E-A. And we're offering a 30-day trial, and we'd really love to know what you think. We want to know what people want to hear more of, what we haven't covered, what their fantasies are. I'd love to know what the Out in the Bay listener fantasies are.
Here are a few other tips and words of advice from fellow queers in the Bay on how to stay safe and stay powerful.
Respect yourself and put yourself first. Don't put yourself in danger, for a little bit of affection, because at the end of the day, it's you who matters.
My friends suggested, told me that they were, drying off in their closet, and their jacket like caressed their back. And then they were just kind of like rubbing along that, and I was like, okay, like I got a lot of different textured sweaters and jackets.
If you're looking for some like new porn, because I feel like I've probably watched everything on Pornhub by now, so I go to like Twitter is my like go-to thing for.
Okay, so for our listeners out there, what kind of hashtags are you searching?
Oh, you gotta look up like, so I like watching like people like masturbating. You type in like hashtag freak or like hashtag BBC or hashtag like sex or like I can't say the other word.
Just exercising, like the way that exercise makes me feel about myself. I'm like, great. This is fantastic. Like, I feel better already just doing this.
Like, I'm very, like, much like a touchy, like, feely, like, sensory kind of person. And I was trying to find different ways to explore, like, different sensations, like, that would make me feel warm or sensual. Like, one of the ones that I really enjoyed was just, like, getting naked and laying on my bed and fluffing my sheet up so it could, like, gradually fall down on me.
Or, like, other things to take care of yourself. Like, I don't know, anything that makes somebody feel good. Cooking a nice meal, cleaning up after yourself and then seeing how nice everything looks. Putting on, like, a nice shirt just for the sake of looking nice for yourself, you know, drinking water, doing a face mask, all those things, even when you're alone. And ironically, like, doing things for yourself that make you like yourself more and kind of more in touch with who you are when you're alone, it makes it that much easier to eventually get to a place of having a healthy relationship, because you have a better idea of who you are and what it is that really makes you tick.
One day I was just like really needing to admire myself, and so I just put on one of the playlists and like locked my door and just took a whole bunch of like sensual like selfies all afternoon.
That's Out in the Bay this week. My interviewees were Jordan Sales, Olivia Lee, Avery Hines, Dylan Gallagher, Jeremy Corrales, and erotic audio doula Christina Loring. For more information and to get the link to a 30-day subscription for Dipsy, go to outinthebay.org. You'll also find links to Olivia's band There's Talk and Dylan Gallagher's band Werewolf. You can also hear this program again, as well as past shows, at the website. While you're there, sign up for our e-newsletter and subscribe to our podcast. If you want to help Queer Radio stay on the air, make a donation. If we raise $2,000 by the end of the year, we'll receive a matching grant from an anonymous donor, and we're about halfway there. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter and Instagram at Out in the Bay SF, or write to us, outinthebaysf@gmail.com. Today's show is produced by me, True Quinn. Big thanks to KALW and KSFP for bringing Out in the Bay back on the air. Now, we leave you with a bedroom serenade from Olivia Lee of local band There's Talk. Think of sending softness and bearing my insights, you wanted to share green light in your hair, so bright in the mountain air, came swift. So I